Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Greg Cosell is presented by the Huffaker Group of Keller Williams Realty. Maybe you're ready to upgrade to the estate. The Huffaker Group can get you there. 833-THG-NASH is their number. 833-THG-NASH, or you can visit them online at THGTN.com. Greg, happy 4th of July week to you. Hope you and the family are getting away a little bit and relaxing over the next couple of days.
Well, not going anywhere, but the good thing is, Jonathan, is at least I don't have to wake up real early and come into the office. You know, to me, that in and of itself is just exciting, you know?
Absolutely. We feel the same way. We have mentioned in previewing the next 30 minutes with you that we're focusing today specifically on Marcus Mariota. And I know you have watched extensive film on him the last couple of weeks. And we'll detail a lot of it here today, and many of which I'm sure will carry over to next week. But first thing I'll ask you about Marcus Mariota, what is the recurring theme of your notes and takeaways from film study? What's something that's just the way it is with him and it isn't going to change?
Well, can I just say one thing before I answer that?
Yes.
I think when you evaluate quarterbacks, and I learned this a long time ago from many people I spoke to and had the pleasure and honor of being around, including people like Bill Walsh, is you need to isolate the traits, attributes, and characteristics of a quarterback separate from the rest of the team. So there's traits, there's attributes, there's characteristics. You need to understand what they are. So that's first. Now, when you look at a quarterback like Mariota, who now has a track record, and then you look at what his traits and characteristics are, there's a couple of things that you feel more than likely at this point in his career that will not dramatically change. Number one, he's much more of a see-it-throw-it passer than a true anticipation thrower. And by that I mean that he needs to see the throw and feel comfortable with the throw before he'll turn it loose. Now, there are certainly throws that look like they're anticipation throws, and you have to look at those carefully. And it's not as if he never makes an anticipation throw, but you have to understand the difference between anticipation and predetermination based on route concepts and the progression. Because very often a quarterback will make throws that look like they're anticipation throws, but they're simply a function of the route concept that attacks and breaks down a specific zone coverage. So the throws are really predetermined by the routes versus the coverage, and that's different than anticipation.
Greg Cosell with us on the Midday 180. We're served up by Wendy's.
Maybe you could give us an example of something like that. Is there something that they did frequently, maybe last year or have done frequently during his career that qualifies as that predetermination that he's good at, where if the defense does X, he's automatically making a certain kind of throw?
Well, normally, PK, what you have, and the Titans were very good at this last year. They did a really nice job with their route concepts. I mean, Matt LaFleur, coming from the background that he does, had a very nice understanding and feel for route concepts, route combinations that attack both man and zone coverage. So they had man-beater concepts, they had zone-beater concepts, and very often within the same route combinations, because you're never 100% certain what the coverage will be. So very often, again, zone, you have what we call high-low concepts, because what you have is underneath coverage, which is the linebacker level, and then you have the deeper coverage, and there's usually a little bit of space between that. So what you often try to do, PK, is you run routes where you attack the underneath coverage, force them to sit, and then you have routes coming behind it in front of the deeper coverage. That's the high-low concept. Every team does it. If it's timed well, and in sync, it presents throws that are there for the quarterback. So very often those kinds of throws may look like anticipation throws, but they're really predetermined by the route concept versus the zone coverage. Mariota can make those throws. Theoretically, any quarterback should be able to make those throws, but he made a number of those throws, and they look very good. One other thing I will point out, and every team does this, is they run what we call 3-by-1 sets, where there's three receivers to one side of the field. Normally it's to the wide side of the field, and then there's a receiver to the back side, to the short side of the field, the boundary receiver. Now, most teams will have the quarterback read the three receiver side, the trip side. And this is an area I don't know how he was coached. But very often, if that trip side is not there in the normal reading progression, the backside boundary receiver will be available. And that's something, that's advanced quarterbacking. That's something I think that Mariota needs to continue to work on. And I guess Arthur Smith would need to work on it with him. They need to work on that because that's often there. When you look to trips and it's not there, you get that backside inbreaker from the boundary receiver, and you have to do that within timing.
So you're saying he hasn't been very good at finding that guy?
No,
off trips.
But the only thing I will say is I don't know how he's coached. That could be a coaching thing as well. You know, for instance, I'll give you an example of that. 2 years ago, Jared Goff was not very good at that at all. Last year, he was much better at it, and I'm sure that came from coaching and with working on it with him through the offseason and training camp and as the year progressed.
Greg Cosell with us.
Let's compare Marcus Mariota to some of the better quarterbacks in the league. Do you feel like he is fooled more times, a higher percentage of the time? Well, you talked about when the zone read is there, where the zone is there, he knows where to go with it, he's effective. Does he get confused more often than some of the best quarterbacks in the league?
You mean confused in terms of he's not sure what he's looking at?
Is he tricked? Yes. By the defense.
I wouldn't say he's tricked. I think the way I would describe that is I think that he has a tendency at times to be a beat slow with what I would call elimination and isolation, meaning eliminating what's not there based on the route concept versus the coverage, and then isolating what is there. I think he tends to be a beat slow with that. I think that needs to be quicker. Now, you can help that theoretically with your route concepts and how you attack coverages, but that's something that he absolutely needs to work on. So Chad, I wouldn't say that he's tricked. That's not the word I would use. But I think that you see that with a lot of young quarterbacks, ideally as they progress and they get a better feel for their own offense versus the defense and the coverage, they become quicker. Most people use the term processing information. I always feel like the term elimination and isolation is more visual. It's eliminating what's not there and isolating what is there.
Greg, you watched 139 third down dropbacks for Mariota last year.
Yeah, those were all of them.
And I'm sure there are plenty of examples of him making some really nice throws
without
in the tight
question.
Windows. But if there is an area to become more consistent, maybe it's not making the throws in the tight areas. It's just letting it loose more often, having the confidence to turn it loose because he certainly is capable of pulling it off.
Yeah, and I think that that's something that he can improve on. Again, I don't know if that's in his DNA, but, you know, I think that he must become more consistent turning it loose. You know, this is a league where the windows are not wide. They can be at times, obviously, but they're not consistently big windows. And I think that he has to become a little more naturally aggressive turning it loose. There's a fine line between being cautious when it's smart to be cautious and then turning it loose when you need to turn it loose. And look, obviously no coach wants interceptions or turnovers, but the really good quarterbacks in this league turn it loose. And he made some of those throws, and the fact that he's made them, when I watched all his third downs, and you know, look, being with you guys for years now, I've seen every snap of Mariota since he's been in the league, as you guys know. You know, I think coming from the system he did at Oregon, he was used to big windows, That was a highly schemed college offense that presented that. So that's something that he needs to continue to work on. Maybe it's just not natural for him, or maybe he's one of those quarterbacks that's naturally cautious. But at this level, there are times you do have to turn it loose.
And, Greg, I realize you're not in the meeting rooms with him to know how he's coached, but I'm curious, when you watch a quarterback that is cautious, even if it's by nature, do you ever watch him and think maybe this is simply the system to where it is just ingrained in his head to not make the big mistake, and maybe that creeps in the back of his head? Can you tell that when you're watching a quarterback?
Well, I don't know that 100%, Chad, but there are certainly quarterbacks and coaches, let's start with coaches, who believe that, hey, I'd much rather not have the ball turned over. There's a lot of coaches who believe that they want every possession to end with a kick, meaning a field goal, an extra point, or a punt, not an interception or a turnover. And, again, I don't know how he's been coached. I don't know what Mike Vrabel's overriding worldview is as far as that goes. He's now going into his second year. So I don't know the answer to that. I don't know what they discuss with him. So that's hard for me to answer. He may be doing exactly what he's told. I'm giving you my worldview based on the fact that I'm an offensive guy, have spent a lot of time in my career with guys who are offensive-minded and, come from, let's say, the Don Coryell school or the Bill Walsh school, guys who are, believers in, hey, let's push the ball down the field and that you have to throw the ball to score.
Greg, some of our listeners want to geek out on the football talk, so let's do that right now. But in your notes, in your assessment, you say one area Mariota must improve is working backside to the boundary X off his initial frontside trips read. Explain in layman's terms what you're getting at there.
Well, that's what I mentioned a moment ago. So normally the front side, if you're talking 3-by-1 sets, there's three receivers to the wide side of the field. That's normally the progression. You start with the three receivers because you're attacking coverage. If it's zone, you're overloading a zone side with three receivers. So you start there. Now, you know pretty quickly, based on the timing of your drop versus the route combination and the defense, whether you have a throw. So if you don't have a throw, there's a backside receiver, okay? He's opposite. He's the X receiver, the boundary receiver. Almost always he's running some kind of in-breaking route so he can almost cross into the vision of the quarterback. Mariota, and again, this is coaching, Mariota, as I mentioned with Jared Goff, has to become quicker at getting off the trip side when he doesn't feel like it's there and working to the backside, because that's almost always there because the defense has cheated and favored the trip side.
Greg, the Mariota discussion in this segment with first and second down and some of the in-breaking routes that you're going to refer to involve Corey Davis. He's featured quite a bit, especially out of Twins.
Yeah, and I like Corey Davis. I liked him coming out and watching all his pass targets, in one sitting, which I can't really do during the season, as you know. I was really impressed with him, and I think depending on the nature of their offense, he could have, I guess the way people think of it, maybe this is a fantasy statement, Jonathan, a breakout season. I guess much will depend upon their offense. But I thought they did a really nice job of trying to create one-on-one matchups for him, using him based, formationally, with motions, with shifts. And he won quite a bit against quality corners. So I thought he was very, very impressive when I watched all his pass targets in a row. The one thing I just wanted to say about Mariota, the kinds of throws that I think he makes really, really well are what we call firm touch throws, because he's not a power thrower. He's not a velocity thrower. He's not a big-armed guy in the way we think of those guys that just can really drive the football. He doesn't throw with a great base. He's a snap thrower. So it's those firm touch throws, and he made some really good ones with precise ball placement, and that has to be his game. He did that at the intermediate levels, both between the numbers and outside the numbers. Just getting back to one other point as well, a lot of throws that people think of as anticipation throws are also what are called spot throws. So in other words, if you're throwing an out pattern, a comeback-type throw, that's a spot throw. So that's not an anticipation throw. So even though you might watch the tape and see that the ball's thrown before the receiver comes out of his break or before he starts his break often, it's a spot throw at a certain yardage distance. It's not an anticipation throw in a strict sense.
So as we talk about anticipation throws, I understand the best guys throw with great anticipation. The kind of throws you're talking about him being good at, who's comparable maybe to that? Can you win with a quarterback that throws with, whose best throw is a firm touch throw, who throws good spot throws?
I would say that a reasonable comparison, PK, and this quarterback is a smoother thrower of the football, but I think ultimately, stylistically, I think Jared Goff is a reasonable comparison, because Jared Goff is also a very highly schemed, programmed quarterback. Now, Mariota has much better mobility, obviously, than Goff, and he can make plays outside of the pocket, outside of structure. He gives you that element. Plus, he gives you the zone read game, which Goff does not. But I'm speaking purely as a passer. I think Mariota is much more of a rhythmic, programmed, schemed thrower. Goff is very much like that. You can be very successful in this league like that. The system has to present the defined throws for you, which we know Sean McVay has done exceptionally well the last 2 years for the Rams. So the question is, what will the offense look like for the Titans? My guess is it will start with Derrick Henry. If you can work that outside zone run game the way the Rams have done with Todd Gurley, you're going to minimize pass rush and you're going to present opportunities for defined throws.
Greg, if you had to guess based on his performance, you think Arthur Smith wants to keep Mariota in those reduced and condensed formations, especially on first and second down?
Well, if your run game is going to be your foundation, you may want to do that, because that what happens then is you're in a much better position for your receivers to be effective as blockers. So you may want to do that. And look, I think we all would agree, I think anyway, wouldn't you guys agree that Derrick Henry will likely be the starting point?
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's exactly what I'm thinking as you answer that question.
You know, so that would be my guess. I mean, that's one of the things that stands out. When you watch the Rams on offense, you know, two things stand out about the receivers in particular. I think Robert Woods is an outstanding blocker, and I think Cooper Kupp is a very good blocker. So, you know, Woods is outstanding at it. You know, now Corey Davis is a big man. I think he has to improve his blocking, but he's big enough to be able to be good at it.
Greg Cosell with us. Greg, as the season wore on, we saw more and more of Anthony Firkser within some of these passing down situations, not necessarily always passing down situations, a lot of first and second down too.
Yeah.
And they implemented their tight ends out of the backfield quite a bit too with the two back sets that you saw. You noted that one was almost always a tight end.
Yeah, and the other thing I noticed as the season progressed, and then Firkser, you know, became the guy. Now, obviously, Walker was not there, although he can do it without question, and Smith certainly can do it as well. But I noticed it more with Firkser as the season progressed is he would be the single receiver to the boundary, to the short side of the field, and they'd have three wideouts to the field. We call those sets 1x3 because it's a tight end who's the single receiver and not a wide receiver. But Firkser's a pretty athletic kid. I'm anxious to see how the tight end position plays out as they go through training camp. You know, obviously, Walker's back healthy, I assume. Smith, I assume, is healthy. Firkser sort of became the guy just because of injury, but I thought, watching the tape, I thought there were some good things that he showed, and he's a pretty athletic guy.
I'm wondering, just while we're on tight end, Michael Pruitt is the guy now who would be the Luke Stocker role, say, Jonnu Smith could move back into that. But they also brought in Ryan Hewitt after maybe being disappointed by what they saw in training camp. And he didn't score too badly in the stuff I was looking at, like from Pro Football Focus and what I looked at. Not that that's the end-all, be-all.
Right.
You think he could be a helpful guy?
Well, you know, I think he's brought in because he's an excellent blocker, and he can line up in multiple positions in the run game and really be an effective blocker. And this gets back to the point about Derrick Henry being the starting point. Now the question becomes is how many of those, you know, tight ends can you keep? So that, you know, to me, tight end could be a very intriguing battle, PK. I mean, you'll be there every day, you know, but I think that's an intriguing battle. You know, you would, like I said, I mean, if you're going to run the ball and that's your foundation, he's a very, very good blocker from multiple spots.
Greg, this may be a difficult question to answer, but you can't talk about, and it ties in with tight end, you can't discuss Mariota's season without discussing the offensive line in front of him.
Yeah.
There were times that the Titans' offensive line struggled with stunts, especially the Conklin side, and I'm sure the lateral quickness was in part, and in large part, the injury that he's coming back off of and will continue to be a storyline to watch. But how much did that affect the tendencies of Mariota to that side of the offensive line when things got tough, especially with the stunts on some of those first and second downs?
It unfortunately played to a weakness in Mariota's game, which is a tendency to break down at flashes of color. And then when you do that, even though he wouldn't always leave the pocket, when you break down, you lose your timing, your rhythm. You know, and then there were times he would reset, and then there were times he'd make a good throw, but there were also times that then he would rush, and then he would lose the ability to make a good throw. And Mariota, because he's mobile, does have a tendency to overreact to flashes of color. And it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Ideally, you know, you try to handle that with your play calling, with your concepts, with your pass protection. But all quarterbacks obviously face pass rush pressure in this league. And, you know, one of the strong traits of high-level quarterbacks is that they can stand there and deliver the football even when there's bodies around them.
And one of the tendencies you saw from defenses, and you noted this, especially divisional opponents, they're going with that spy on third down with Mariota. In the future, and from what you've seen, how do they use that to the Titans' advantage, knowing that?
Well, I think teams do that because they ultimately feel at this point in his career that he's, I don't want to say more dangerous as a runner than a passer, but that's a part of his game that needs to be taken away. My guess is that teams at this point in his career probably feel that they'd rather have him, particularly on third down, stand in the pocket and have to make good throws than leave the pocket and beat them with his feet. So now the Titans and Marcus have to prove that, hey, I can drop back, I can stand there, and I can deliver the football on third and eight, and I can beat defenses throwing the ball on third and eight. You start doing more and more of that, and teams will not be as conscious of spying, because that spy is essentially, he's taken out of both pass rush and coverage.
Greg, this was excellent, and I know we're just scratching the surface with your film study of Mariota. We'll continue to this next week. We'll also get into Corey Davis and some of the things you've noticed about the wide receiver who they're going to count on as being their number one target on the outside.
Looking forward to it.
Happy 4th.
All right, you too, guys. Thanks so much.
Greg Cosell, every week with us, exclusively, right here on 104.5 The Zone. This is the only place you're getting that type of analysis. And we'll podcast that, 104.5thezone.com. Greg Cosell, presented by the Huffaker Group of Keller Williams Realty.